Welcome to GamerCast, episode 128. I'm Adam, and Paul is asleep.
I'm not asleep, I'm reading.
The inside of your eyelids. I have a manual to life tattooed underneath them in very microscopic text, so I can read.
Dude, shut up. Yeah, this is GamerCast 128 for the 17th of August 2008. We would have had Rudis here today.
Really?
But he said he was busy. Oh. I don't know where Chris is. It's like he just vanished.
He went out for some food and he just come back with this weird plate with tinfoil over that turkey on it. Because I came in with your sister and Chris as I came in through the front door.
Oh, so they're downstairs now?
They're downstairs at the moment.
Oh, great. Right, what's the betting in 5 minutes time we're going to hear this tapping at the door? Can I play WoW? No.
Because you can only play WoW here at the moment, can't you?
No, they've got internet there now.
Oh, cool.
Still won't hit up there. Any old excuse.
I will be
going back. Oh, my computer's too slow. I want to use that computer in
a box. I've got 27 days left on my play for Eve. I've cancelled it, but I've bought the game now, so I can go back onto it whenever I want. So I'm getting ready to jump back on a WoW and start hardcoring, because I was getting a bit fed up of...
Get yourself 55.
Yeah.
55 is your target for when the expansion comes out.
Yeah. And then we can all play together and go up in the same... The thing is, though, now I can get away with actually playing it with a headphone socket and with one earpiece in while watching a DVD with Sarah, because I can sit there on my laptop and play it like that instead of having to disappear and not come back for ages. Yeah.
I am watching the film. It's good.
Paul, what are you doing? Type. Enter.
Right, we had one letter arrive in my inbox last week. It's from some dude called Chris who says, I have an epic mount. La-di-da, I've got an epic mount too. See, I put out this request for any who's got an epic mount here, and we've had one listener say they've got an epic mount. One. That's it.
I don't have an epic mount.
I leveled using auctioneer selling everything I had as went, and by the time I was 70, I bought the epic mount straight away. Nice.
You must have had a lot of money, but not spent it on anything else.
Well, the thing is,
you've been spending so much time with your gladiator stuff and getting all your gear up.
Yeah, I had to grind 2 weeks doing daily quests because I blew my 1,000 gold on my regular flying mount. Mm. Right, so that's cool. Thank you, Mr. Chris, for sending.
Question: while we're on the subject, your daily quests that you were doing, mm-hmm. were they requiring a flying mount to do?
Some of them, yeah.
Right, so you...
Most of them, no.
Right, so there were fewer...
Two require... Three... Three quests I've been doing required a flying... Four. No, three. Three. Yeah, three quests. It was... I did the one where in the Throne of Kil'jaeden, there's two quests up there. You have to fly into there because you can't walk there.
Yeah.
And there's a one where you have to blow up some eggs in for the Skyguard people.
Okay.
But obviously, having a flying mount is handy in other situations. And now I've got my epic flying mount, I can do a lot of quests quite fast.
Yeah, so having that first mount helps.
Quests where you have to fucking collect shit much faster, because you can move around faster. There's one quest in the Grand where you have to take these readings from these weird fire things. That's a lot faster, since you can just fly around really quickly. So yeah, I'm trying to get my Neverwing reputation up so I can get my Neverwing mount, which is what you saw me doing just a minute ago.
I must admit...
I have to make them like me, and then they'll sell me a mount.
Yeah. It's a real shame they don't, at least for now, until they turn around and say, right, in the rest of Azeroth, you can have a flying mount. But if you have a flying mount, and you're in Azeroth, and you're trying to get somewhere, so you use the... like the Griffin Riders.
The Birdman.
You pay maybe a little bit less, or they're just the same, but instead of being on a Griffin, you're just on your flying mount. So at least you get to play the game, and as you're going in through Elwynn Forest, you'll look up and you'll see someone on Netherwing Drake just fly past instead of just being on a griffin.
Dude, shut up, I want to fly my mount.
But yeah, the ultimate goal would be to be able to fly everywhere on a mount. I imagine eventually we'll get around to that.
Nah, I don't think Blizzard can be bothered.
I think it's more in the sense of they've got plans for coming back to expanding in.
Yeah, they've got plans for coming back to expanding it, but the trouble is, they don't get done.
No, and they're going to do them a bit at a time, so it'll probably be a long time before they could expand everything. I still think Paul's idea of invisible walls, or spongy walls,
that's
where
they,
you go
that's
in.
That's what they used in Outland. If you go too high, invisible wall. If you go into a place you're not supposed to go, invisible wall.
Yeah, so why they can't.
The bird makes a funny noise, and you don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Simple.
They should do the same thing.
You know, I don't want to use the Flying Mountain Azeroth so I can fly over places I'm not supposed to get. I want to use it so I can get around quicker.
Mm.
Although I must admit, flying to Golcher on my dragon mount and beating up the noobs would be good.
Mm.
Even better, going to the crossroads and just standing in the middle of it and kicking ass.
I think one of the problems that I think they're trying to look at, which I think would actually be quite good, would be...
would be that it is time for epic win.
Well, fair enough, anybody could go to the starting areas, but you can find your way into the starting areas if you're crafty enough anyway. And if you wanted to, you could land straight in the middle of Orgrimmar with a load of level 70s on flying, or level 80s on flying, and just drop straight into the city and start fighting. But again, I can't see any problem with that. You can go through the front door if you want. So
I was talking to a chap yesterday. He works for Nintendo. Well, freelance for Nintendo. And he was saying how he thinks WoW should have much more PvP focus.
Mm.
And I have to say that I agree with him. You know, on a PvP realm, go into enemy territory, your PvP's on. On a non-PvP realm, there isn't really a lot of PvP combat going along. I mean, you might get the odd raid to Orgrimmar every now and then. So hopefully the expansion will tidy that up with achievements. Because, PvP combat is one of the cool things. You get honor for doing it. So you don't have to go into a battleground, you don't have to wait for it, and you don't get some noob and you lose the battleground and you spend 20 minutes in there. You just get around killing stuff.
I think WoW might be pressured into doing more with the fact that on 18th of September...
Warhammer Online.
Which is realm versus realm.
See, I always thought, you know, when WoW came out, I thought realm versus realm, bad idea, because I want to play as a Horde, but I know all my mates would play as Alliance, but, you know, now... They need to use that, you know, we need to really get the fight going.
The fact that you can...
Because the thing is, I want to pwn 100,000 level 1 orcs.
Hmm.
It'd make those bastards pay for slaughtering scenarios.
The cool thing about it is, like, with Warhammer
what
Online...
What the hell is that? It's that cupcake with a skull and with crossbones.
Yeah, it's Johnny Cupcake t-shirt.
Right, okay. Stop pointing at me.
But yeah, realm versus realm seems pretty cool with Warhammer Online, just the fact that everything you're doing, from soloing to doing in a group, quests, PvP, battleground style stuff, taking over places, all pushes to the war effort, because the idea is you're in open war.
So hang on, in this war effort, can one side be crushed?
Pretty much. You can't get to the point where you are going to take over another area. So it really does push
the
balance.
See, now that would be good if WoW...
I think you can take over the capital, if need be. I'm not entirely sure
what
they're doing.
Yeah, because there's Talat and Nagran, where you take over the town. There's one town. So they've experimented with things like that, but obviously introducing that into Azeroth would massively alter the game.
They were always pushing
the Because
the
thing is, the Alliance would immediately move to take over the whole world, and we'd crush the Vile Horde once and for all.
Yeah.
Although the Taurens can be spared, because the Taurens are alright. It's just those goddamn orcs and those scummy undead and those flipping trolls.
Yeah.
I don't want your voodoo magic, mate. Go away. Shoot.
Even if they're not willing...
No, the voodoo mark.
If they're not willing to do it with Azeroth because they still want the quests and all this, that and the other, it would be good on the next expansion pack after Wrath. Would be... If you look at the map, there are two fronts in it.
Screw it. Put Wrath back 2 weeks and add all these features.
Yeah.
Get those whips out.
Another landmass around the other side.
Hang on a minute. If they did that, they would be adding new land to Azeroth.
Mm.
A lot of the fans would be like, you're just adding it just to have a place for all these people to fight.
Yeah. That's the problem. It's like, do you put somewhere else, or do you say, right, now, if everybody on Horde really, really works hard, they can take over Stormwind, and Stormwind's theirs until we can fight for it back.
God, the Alliance would be screwed.
Yeah.
The Alliance really would be screwed, because they'd be like, oh no, the Horde have taken Stormwind. And you'd have one guy charge in and try and take it back. He would die.
It would be interesting, just for the fact that you would have the server have these encampments that wouldn't be there, and only load up when you're being overrun, and eventually commander would say, call the retreat, and Stormwind would evacuate, and then Stormwind people would be somewhere else, and you'd have new quests, and it would be up there, and then you would fight to get Stormwind back, and when you do, all those camps disappear, and everyone gets back into Stormwind.
That would be a good idea, having the whole city evacuate to this little refugee camp outside the walls.
But if you had it so that it was like Realm versus Realm, so you had people who, as soon as that happens, new quests activate and people are doing those quests. Do you remember when there was that whole war thing where you were having to collect flowers and metal and stuff for the big war to open these gates and stuff for the bugs in this desert or whatever, whichever expansion pad that was, the patch thing that was. But it would be so much better if you had it so that, you know, people who are just soloing could start doing some really good quests that give them something, but add something to the big effort. And then it comes to people who are doing the raids, and they would all go into a massive open raid to try and get Stormwind back. And if no one's there, and NPCs would appear of orcs and the rest of the Horde. And if nobody was there on the other side PvPing to defend it, you fight your way in, you get to the end, big boss, and boom, within an hour, you're seeing caravans coming in, and everything starts changing back again.
Looking for a group to take Stormwind. And three people show up. Great, well done, Alliance. The Horde have taken over the whole world. Thanks. But you're too busy fucking goofing around in the auction house.
See,
I had to get my money.
I think the thing would be they could create a good NPC AI. So if, for that server, to keep the balance, well, the Horde were much better players and they were just kicking ass too easily, the NPCs would help with the other players to balance it out a bit more. See, that would just give that nice sort of balance, because something's been happening similar with that new game that I was on about before, that zombie game, Left 4 Dead.
Oh yeah.
I've been watching a trailer about it on E3, and they were saying to allow the game, because you're not fighting against each other, you're fighting with each other, that the AI that controls the zombies actually pays attention to what you're doing and changes the difficulty.
We heard that before. We've been hearing that since flipping Command and Conquer. The AI will adapt and learn and blah blah blah, and then it just does the same thing over and over.
Yeah. But yeah, they add something like that, or at least key features. If something's not happening, NPCs start jumping in more regularly to help or whatever. But yeah, I think that would be cool. Warcraft 3. Right. But yeah, that's my whinge on WoW. I'm going to be back.
Right, we're not going to talk about WoW.
Okay.
Okay, we'd be getting threatening letters.
So?
Well, we haven't actually, but...
Let's talk about some gold. What's gone to gold?
Fable 2.
I wish. Don't look at me like that. You're making me think it has gone to... Oh, that'd be so good.
I think it has, hasn't it? Didn't I read somewhere it did?
I haven't tried that new pub game that's out. Yeah, there's a new pub game.
Oh, I've loaded the menu and then I just got confused because I didn't know what the games were, so I just gave up. No, maybe I just imagined it.
It was a dream. Nice dream.
Fable 2 is close to going gold.
Yeah.
So yeah, one game that has gone RTM is, as we say in software development land, is Spore. Now, Spore is a game that everybody wants. Especially me.
It's been out.
But even more especially me.
But
I have to say, I've got a sneaking suspicion they fucked it up. It's good. It's 2 or 3 weeks now, and I'm thinking, yeah, they fucked it up. Yeah, they fucked it up. This game has so much promise, and I'm going to play it, and I'm going to be like, wow, they fucked it up.
We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, looking forward to that. As well as the fact it's on DS. I think it's out on other platforms as well.
DS.
I know there's a dumbed-down version for DS and an even more dumbed-down version for mobiles. And then there's the standard version, which is Mac and PC. But I don't know if there's Xbox 360 or PlayStation versions as such. I don't think there is.
No, at least not in the same time frame as those.
Yeah, maybe something further on, like the...
So yeah, September 5th in Europe and September 7th in North America and Asia Pacific. Along with Spore Creatures for the Nintendo DS and Spore Origins for mobile phones.
Yeah. So,
we are so excited to finally get Spore into the hands of fans and players, said Lucy Bradshaw, executive producer of Spore at Maxis. The Maxis studio has had an absolute blast creating Spore, but the fun is just beginning. The most engaging stories are truly the ones people create themselves, and we can't wait to see how players not only craft and explore the Spore universe, but hear what stories they have to tell as a result. Whoopee doodah. Stories, what story? I made my dudes, and they took over the universe.
I like I've said on many episodes before, I am looking forward to the fact that with a Spore creator, everybody's been doing wacky things, but I like the level of the game that you can play as just one character, and just as you're probably getting to the point where it's like, yeah, I'm getting bored, maybe I'll go back and start again. The game goes to another level and changes into a new type of game, and I'm liking the fact that because it's changing the gameplay, it's going to keep me more and more.
What I want is that you can't rush straight through to the space stage too quickly.
No,
I thought that should take a good 10-12 hours.
Yeah, and yeah,
I'm going to be there in the cell stage thinking, "Damn, I wish I could fucking take over the world. Damn it, evolve. Damn it."
Yeah, it's going to be pushing against that. Do you want to rush it and not have a great species, or do you want to take your time and really keep evolving and evolve slowly and eat your time, sort of thing?
Once you've got robots and stuff, who cares? Yeah, my dudes are going to be the robot creatures. They're going to be grey and square. Oh my god, you can't make them square, can you?
That sucks.
This game, so I don't want this game anymore. Let's just play SimCity. At least then I can make my square building.
How many organic things are there in the world that are square? Or at least have corners?
Robots?
Exactly. It's like trying to count how many things are blue in the world that are natural.
Fish.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Water-bound mammals.
Yeah. And the only reason that is because the atmosphere of the Earth reflects the light through the gases, creating the sky to look blue, and because the light reflected off the blue, hits the water and makes that seem blue.
You fell.
Go on then, what is it?
It's not reflecting, it's refracting.
Thank you, it's refracting.
Because blue light is a shorter wavelength, and so it gets scattered less by the atmosphere.
Yeah, making it seem like it's blue.
When actually the atmosphere is actually, you know, 97 or 98%. And then transparent,
the water seems blue because it's getting all of the light from.
Dude,
it's cool.
No, it isn't.
But yeah, how many other things?
That's not true. What blue actually flowers, happens is it. Water actually is blue. Have you never, like, if you run it into your sink, it's blue, isn't it?
No, but it rotates.
Oh,
you got a problem.
I think I better investigate the thing in there.
Yeah, I think you've got a pen jammed in there.
I was making myself some. You know, blackcurrant squash, and it started out red, and then it turned a mix of red and blue.
Did it look like that mouthwash that you have to shake before you drink?
It started going green. Yeah, what were you saying?
Yeah, there isn't much that's blue apart from flowers and fish.
No, after that, you just said something. What was it?
I can't remember. But yeah, I'm looking forward to.
I'm tempted to rewind the show to find out what you just about to say. It was when I interrupted you.
See, that's what you get for interrupting. You miss out the good stuff.
What are you going to say? I want to know.
But yeah, Spore, we're definitely looking forward to that. It's going to be a good time consumer.
Good time? That's great, thanks. Use up more of my precious time.
Although I will say one thing, I've got a feeling that I feel like you're not going to have to be as hardcore of a fan for Spore to play it.
I am hardcore.
Compared to Sims. With Sims, you could get bored really easy
after a while. How could you get bored with The Sims? It was great. Look at what. Look, they're getting stuck on their sofa again. Get off the sofa.
Get off.
Get to it. Oh no, they just wet themselves.
Go to the toilet. No, quicker. Gotta go to the toilet. Then you gotta shower. Then you gotta eat. But you've got to wash up. The taxi's here. Do it in 30 seconds.
Oh, that was so stupid about Spore. You know, you just didn't have any time. Just sit back.
Sims, you mean.
The Sims, you know, it's all rush, rush, rush.
And then do nothing for ages, then rush, rush, rush. Yeah, I know what you mean. It was getting that balance right, where here I feel like it's the management is looking at all of the different types and going from a different type of gameplay all the way through. It's really going to be good. So, yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be able to find it a lot easier to play than they were on Sims sort of thing without finding themselves getting bored and having to walk away from it. I know a lot of people were playing Sims and really wished that the game would work in a such a way that you could leave it on while you were at work and then come back and carry on.
What, leave your computer on all day?
Running Sims.
What are you trying to do? Waste power?
I'm still surprised that no one's tried
this
to
computer
do it.
This computer was off until about 20 past 3 this afternoon.
I am curious that no one's tried to do a Big Brother Sims.
How would that work then?
I don't know. But Sims is like Big Brother. You know,
no, it isn't, because Big Brother is a load of bollocks.
Yeah, it's crap.
The Sims, although it's buggy as hell, is actually an interesting concept.
Mm.
Although I don't really have any interest in it.
It's just something I turn over when it's on. But yeah, let's go to the other Spore information. They have said that it's a definite, there will be no demo coming out apart from the Spore creator that's already out.
I can't see, I'm surprised about that. How would you make a demo out of it?
Yeah, exactly.
Would you just have one of the stages of the game? Or would you just play 10 seconds in each stage, which would be...
Yeah.
What's the point in that?
It would really...
It's not a game that lends well to a demo, because you don't have a first level, which is, you know, kind of representative of the whole game. The first bit of the game is completely different to the other stages, so, you know...
Apart from if they ripped it apart and said, right, you've got a minute to do this. Yeah, once you've achieved it, you go to the next stage. And I think it is...
Oh my god, I just saw a football go past the window.
Yeah, I think I just... Yeah.
Are Amelia and Chris playing football?
They're throwing the football at each other. They're playing past the football.
See, that's what they do when they can't play WoW.
This is what WoW and Didix get up to. WoW, we're outside, there's fresh air. Look at this, if I throw it to you, you can throw it back. My god, am I getting gold for this? I must be getting good experience by now.
Dude, you can do that in WoW. You can get balls, you can throw at each other in WoW.
See, that's what they're doing. They're thinking they're getting gold. Should we tell them? You're not getting any experience.
Go on, shout that out the window. It'd be funny. They'd be like, Chris would be like, what? And then we would be like, shut up.
Oh, dear. But yeah, this article is just...
Lily's got to go to work soon. She can't be fucking around out there for long.
They're talking about the protection stuff.
Hang on.
You want to say something first? Go on.
Well, you know, this article is about the Spore demo and the already planned expansion packs.
Yes.
That sound was me hitting my head with my hand. You know, I don't mind a company already planning an expansion pack. But they've already said they're planning multiple expansion packs already.
Right, I can see this in
don't do that! I want it in the game!
Yeah, I can see this in two areas.
God, I'm getting hot.
A.
All my ranting and raving and waving my arms around.
A, the first one was what you said in the beginning, was that they weren't going to get the full game of what we saw in the initial stages completed, so the other bits get chopped off and left till later, and we get brought in a bit at a time with expansion packs. Or everything that you get in September with Spore is what you're going to get, but while they were designing it, they came up with some other concepts that they did not have time to start trying to fit into the game, and they were left for the expansion packs later, and they've ended up with so much good stuff they're already ready to start making expansion packs.
Why
we don't know.
Why make multiple expansion packs when you can just put all these new ideas you've got
into one
expansion pack? The answer is money.
Yeah, make more money.
You know, and if they think I'm going to buy God knows how many expansion packs, I'm not some stupid 12-year-old girl buying all the expansion packs for The Sims.
Yeah, it's going to have
I'm not going to blow 2 years of my pocket money on these expansion packs.
It's going to have to be some seriously good content, because it's so full of content already. But
yeah, I mean, what are they going to do? Patch all the problems which are probably going to be in the game?
Yeah.
Sorry, I want that in a patch for free or else.
But yeah, protection, right? They're saying that they're going to try not and push against the player.
Let's quote what Mr. Bradshaw says about the anti-piracy measures. We do have copy protection. It is a necessary part of our biz. I hate people who say biz. The word is business, pal. Why don't you go back and learn English? But we've worked to make it something that does not punish the legit owners. That's what they always say. That's what everyone has said. So I'm just going to ignore your little quote there because that's just the BS marketing line. You need to authenticate once at first install. This happens online. You can install on three separate computers, and you do need to register for online features. Okay, fair enough. To use the online features, you have to register. Fair enough. I can understand that. So that's all, you know, it's pretty typical activation style thing like we've seen in Halo, BioShock, other games like that. You know, all the Steam games obviously are all, you know.
Battlefield 2142.
Yeah, loads of games now use online activation. But some of them, the stupid ones, use online activation
every time you play.
Well, I mean,
Battlefield 2142, for argument's sake. You have to log in.
So it's multiplayer, you play online, you know. I can get why Battlefield does it.
Yeah.
But there's games out there like BioShock, which activates online and requires an effing disc.
Mm.
That's why I don't play it. Because I have to, like, trot over there, get the box, get the disc out, and to my CD trays, put it in, and then I've got to wait for the drive to spin up, and it's by then it's like, I really can't be asked to play this. Mm. Which is why I don't play Crysis as much, because I have to find a disc.
Exactly.
And I can't be bothered to go look for an OCD crack when I've got other games here, like Supreme Commander, WoW, all these games which I've been playing, Civilization, I have no CD cracked it. Because, I do like to play that a bit. But, you know, it's like, I'll just play one of these other games. So anyway, this copy protection thing, how it's working in Spore is you can activate three separate machines, don't require the disc after activated, do need to be online to activate initially, which, you know, for most people isn't a big deal anymore.
No.
You know, they've got a laptop, they don't have internet at home, they can go out somewhere around a friend's house and log in over wireless.
Yeah.
That isn't particularly hard.
Or hotspot.
The only issue I have with online activation is, less so with companies like EA and, say, Microsoft, because, you know, these companies aren't going to go bust overnight.
Yeah.
But, you know, if EA ever decided to turn off activation servers, game over. You can't play the game anymore. Oh. If you need to reinstall it, tough, you're screwed. You know, at least Microsoft has said, well, at least with Windows, back, you know, when Windows XP came out and had activation, Microsoft said they would, when they turn off the servers, they will kill product activation in Windows. See, Windows has actually done really well, because Windows, you can, you know...
So you're saying, like, when they finally go, right, no more XP, we're not going to be doing this server system for XP anymore.
15 years' time, when they say, okay, we really can't be bothered to run the activation servers for the two people in the world still running it, they're going to say, look, here's a patch. Do that, it will remove activation. But, you know, you're always concerned. If a company just goes bust, they ain't got time to make a patch. They ain't got time to keep their servers running. You've lost your game. You paid 30 quid for the game, now it's gone.
Mm.
So that's always an issue, but, you know, we can soon crack that.
Yeah.
But it's hassle, you know. We know how to go and grab a no CD patch or, you know, a whatever crack to get whatever we don't like out of the game. Joe Public doesn't know how to do that.
Yeah. Buys it for £5 in the buy 3 for £5 PC game.
Buy Spore 10 years time from now, servers aren't running anymore. Oh shit. Well, this game doesn't work.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which is the big issue I have with buying games over Steam as well. I bought the Half-Life over Steam, you know, but it's always, there's always a daunting prospect that somebody's going to hit the Switch and goodbye the games you've bought.
Yeah.
Which is why I like to have it in a physical copy with no copy protection on, like, for example, Sins of the Solar Empire, the game which has no copy protection. Or Supreme Commander, the game which has no copy protection because they released, the first patch they released removed the damn CD check. In your face, THQ. Our first patch nailed your protection. So yeah. Obviously, there's a lot of people, you know, going ballistic at this in the comments of this article. This is on Eurogamer. So a lot of people saying, yeah, it drives me mad, blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah.
I would have thought a lot of people would be happy about the fact of no CD.
Exactly. I will have online activation with a company which I'm confident is still going to be in business in a year's time, against having to put the goddamn CD in.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
so that's the thing,
it's easy for us to go and get the no CD crack, but then what happens when they release a patch?
So they're saying three
computers. Does the patch work against the cracked executables? Or does it fail because it's a different, you know, checksum? It can go either way, and you don't really know, and then you have to back up the original, and then there's...
Does that mean that you could have it like, say, if your mum got into playing it, she could sit there and play it on there, but you could be sat there playing another copy as well?
Well, I've got up my tablet. I've got the Creature Creator works the same. It's on my this computer and my tablet. They both work happily.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Apparently, it phones home occasionally to reactivate when you launch the game, but meh. I haven't, you know, the times I've been offline with my tablet, like when I'm outside of my wireless range and I'm crippled without the interwebs.
Shaky hands.
You know, it works, so whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
As long as it works, you know. But there's always a question of, if I install it on three computers and I, you know, 2 or 3 years' time, I blast this computer down, reinstall it, is it going to reactivate? If I upgrade this computer, is it going to reactivate? Because on Windows, every unspecified number of months, the activation counter resets. So, you know, you're not bumping into it all the time. Are they going to do something similar on here? So when I upgrade my computers, it will still activate.
Yeah.
Because that's the other big issue with online activation is, gee, am I going to have my computer here, new computer, and now I can't activate it? And what? Do I have to phone somebody? Because I haven't seen an option for telephone phoning activation on Sport like there is on Windows.
Yeah, so if you've got a problem, do you have to go through EA to try and get it reactivated?
And what are they going to do then? Are they going to say, tough luck?
Mm.
Because then I would say, tough luck, I'm phoning Trading Standards. And I'll also say, tough luck, I'm also writing the Trading Standards to make sure they got it. And the numpty on the phone isn't a temp there, he doesn't know what they're doing. Right, so yeah, there's you know... I would argue that games no longer need copy protection. The people who pirate it will pirate it regardless. In fact, having too harsh copy protection will probably lead people to pirate it because they can get a pirated version with no protection.
Mm.
You know, Sins of the Solar Empire, release no protection, sales were fantastic. Sure, people downloaded it, but hey, people are going to download Spore as well. You know, stop irritating everyone with copy protection. It's just something else to go wrong, and it often does go wrong, because if you take copy protection which uses a driver like Star Force, oh gee, this is a new version of Windows, oh gee, the driver fails, great, my game won't work.
Yeah.
Until I go on Star Force's website and hope they've got a newer driver.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, there's too many ways for you to lose your copy of the game, especially with smaller companies, but you know, of course, we would argue no DRM, no copy protection at all, but until the revolution comes, comrade, and IP, property of whole society, you know, we're not going to have that. Which is why you need to join me in the revolution. And I encourage all the comrade listeners to help as well. You can start by giving Gamer Accounts money. Right, let's talk a bit about the Xbox 360, which just came out.
Okay.
The 60 gig model. So this is slotted in at £200 and knocked out the 20 gig.
Okay.
So it's just replaced the 20 gig, basically.
So the 20 gig was the original premium?
Was the original Xbox 360, yeah.
So this is the premium console. It looks exactly the same.
This is the new premium console with a bigger hard drive.
Okay.
Why 60 gig and why didn't just, you know... drives are so cheap, honestly. I mean, it costs... they buy 60 gig drives in for like 2 pence.
What's my drive? It's 120, isn't it, the Elite?
The Elite is 120.
Yeah, and then because now it's they've got rid of the core system and it's the arcade and it comes with a memory card,
256 megabyte memory card.
Yeah,
with 5 Xbox Live Arcade games on it, which I haven't found out how much space in the memory card they take up, because it could be 100-150 meg quite easily.
Yeah.
Sony will be releasing the PlayStation 3 with an 80 gigabyte hard drive.
Yeah.
In end of next week.
I was chatting to one of my mates at work. He definitely says, if you have a PlayStation 3, this is not something you should be looking at. Ignore it. There is no need to ever upgrade a PlayStation 3 for hard drive usage. You have USB slots. The damn thing will run off any PC external hard drive to save your data on. there's no need to want to actually need one. To be honest, it's just Sony slowly made a little bit of money and decided, oh, we don't have to go 40, we can go 80 now.
No, this is what it is. Well, obviously, first they released the 60 gig.
Mm.
I will stress, first of all, the 80 gig still has no backwards compatibility.
It is the 40 gig.
It's still the cheap model.
It's the 40 gig, but with 80 gig hard drive instead.
Yeah, so this is Sony saying, how can we not lower the price this Christmas? I don't know, we'll put a bigger hard drive in it. That's what this is about. But I mean, honestly, you know, 60 gig hard drive, my 20 gig, I wish it was bigger, sure, but I'm not going to fucking pay money to make it bigger.
Mm.
You know, I'll just delete some stuff I got on there. I'm not paying the extortionate prices that Microsoft charge for these drives, considering they're only like regular 2.5 inch drives.
Well,
the spare
hard drives are 120, aren't they? So you could just go buy, instead of buying a new console, you could just go buy a 120 gig hard drive.
£100.
It's £100.
I would rather shoot myself. £100? I'm having a laugh. Cost some bloody 5 pence to manufacture.
Wait until yours breaks and just get a newer one.
That's what I'm waiting for. It won't break. Come on. HDMI cable downstairs is waiting for it to break. Damn reliable flipping 360s.
Yeah.
And at least now you can transfer all my, like, before if I swapped it over, I would keep my hard drive. Because the games were, you know. Actually, no, I wouldn't have done that because the games are tied to the specific console, aren't they? Not the hard drive.
Mm.
But now you've got the game transfer tool you can do once a year. It doesn't really matter. So yeah, go wrong in the next couple of months, because then it will still be in its 3-year warranty.
Target set on it.
I don't think the warranty covers Adam's farts.
I don't know, we could always do the same thing we did with the PlayStation 2. Bit of a rivet gun, bit of expanding foam, hit it with a breeze block from off a stepladder. It'll be fine. They'll believe it. You'll have an elite in no time.
My console went wrong. It's got holes in it. And it's green.
It's leaking some sort of expanding fluid. It's overheated and melted.
So yeah, that's fun. What came out this week?
Nothing majorly grabbed my attention. Anything lately was Soul Calibur, which...
Meh.
I wasn't majorly into.
I ain't paying 40 quid for a game which, let's face it, is the same as one 10 years ago.
My mate really liked it, but he did turn around and go, well, actually, it's the same thing. It's the same one as number 3. The only difference is Yoda's in it this time.
Well, we do that. The only difference is Dead or Alive 4. Was it 4? Yeah, Dead or Alive 4 was... A Spartan was in it. What we do that. Yeah. Honestly, 40 quid fighting game, get real. I'm not paying more than 15 quid for it.
Like on previous show, I did a review on the demo Naruto on PS3. I'm waiting for that in November. I'm also waiting for Tekken. But until then, I've actually downloaded Tekken 5 for the PlayStation 3.
Honestly, 40 quid for a beat-em-up.
Where I paid 14.
I'm not 11 anymore on my Master System 2, spending 30 quid on Mortal Kombat. You know,
see,
we've been there. We've done all this.
I bought Tekken 5, the updated graphic version for PS3, for £14. With the online capability, so I was playing it there, going into matches and watching other people play Tekken until it was my go, and then I got to fight against people and you were knocking people off the matches and stuff and customise your characters up, and that MSP for $49.99 is actually amazing. Definitely a good buy if you like Tekken, and he's keeping me going until Tekken 6 comes out, which still rumoured for September, but it could easily be pushed till Christmas. But yeah, definitely good. Nothing we seen. Civ 4 Colony. I can't even say it.
Civilization 4 Colonization.
Colonization! So.
What? What are you looking at me for? This is your news item.
Yeah, Civ 4
Stop
Engine.
Just pointing at me, dude.
It's not another expansion pack, it's a separate game using the Civ 4 engine.
Why call it Civ 4?
I don't know.
People are going to be confused.
Yeah, they are. Some people are going to be buying it and they're going.
Is this an expansion pack?
Do I need to have the
Do I need that one to have this? Or?
And they'll be wondering why they run out of time period. And it's like it's set in a set time period and it's about colonising land instead of... It's more the colonising than anything else.
Well, yeah, in Civilization 4, colonization aspect was you found a city somewhere else.
And that was it.
And that's your colony. And it's just, you know, it's got a lower, if it's on a separate continent, well, even if it's far away from your capital, it will have higher maintenance costs.
Mm.
In Beyond the Sword, they introduce actual proper colonies where if you found an overseas colony, at some point they could request independence.
Yeah.
And you could grant it or not.
I think this one is more...
And then it would actually create a new civilization.
Yeah. I think this one is more pushing towards the how to keep them going, how to get your the ships there and supplies. And
this is more... You know, civilization is broad. There's not much micromanagement to do. You can just automate the workers and they go find resources. And this is much more about maintaining your colony and developing it in the nitty-gritty details.
Yeah.
Instead of the overarching world domination of civilization.
It's about trying to supply these colonies to expand.
Yes, of course. You can play as the Dutch, the Anglais, the French or Spanish colonists. It's set in a new world, so there is actually a set.
Mm.
You know, this isn't an imaginary continent which is randomly generated. You play between 1492, which is when Christopher Colombo, the man in the dirty Mac who discovered America, found it, and the mid-19th century.
Yeah.
So it's between that sort of period. I'm not sure if the sort of storyline will actually follow historical context or not. They haven't said anything about that. It's obviously, you know, if you pick one of these civilizations, do you actually play them in a historical role, competing with, like, you know, the French up in Canada or whatever?
Or is it just a free-for-all and anything could happen and it's just replaying history, but it's random? And
because say the Dutch are going to have problems if that's true. Because you don't see many Dutch-speaking people in the Americas these days, do you?
No. And the Spanish only got kind of California downwards, and the French got...
Well, the Spain were a huge power until they got beaten up quite badly by...
Britannia.
By another European country. They were actually, you know, quite an aggressive power.
Yeah.
Until their armada sunk. But then it was made up of, like, there've been rowing boats and dinghies and stuff, which is a really powerful armada. So yeah, so who knows if it's going to be playing historical. I'm not sure if they can, simply for balance reasons, because obviously the Dutch are going to die quite soon on.
Mm.
And their colonies are going to be reduced to ruins.
But
then the French won't last much longer once Great Britain takes over Canada.
This has really got me intrigued, because it is Sid Meier's civilization, and if
it looks like it.
If it is really...
The water effects. They've upgraded the graphics in some respects.
And the boats are looking really good.
Although you still have the giant units standing over your colony.
Yeah. I think this is more of a zoomed-in version. It's paying attention to one part of the standard Sid Meier's, and then he's going to... He looks like he's developed it even more. So he's gone less detail, let's look at one part, and hopefully he's taken that one part and gone more detail, sort of thing. So...
Looks interesting. Have they said when it's coming out?
Not entirely. I think it's just something that's still probably still in development.
Ooh, the game itself is scheduled to ship later this year.
Mm.
Well, they kept that quiet for a while, didn't they?
Yeah. Maybe a lower end one, because it's not a full Sid Meier's game. They're not pushing it out too much. They're probably going for the big fans for this. So that thing, is it going to be a smaller game, or is it... I don't know.
Not sure. I don't think I'll be buying this, though.
It's not
screen. I'm not particularly interested in the butchering of an entire continent of native people.
Yeah.
It doesn't really appeal to me. I like butchering people in Civilization 4, because it's a random world with all these random people.
Yeah.
But, you know, reliving...
What if...
Reliving the destructive of it, the destruction of, you know, multitudes of different... societies in the Americas isn't something people should be rushing to or saying, yeah, let's get those fucking Indians, die noobs.
Well, yeah, you play Civilization with the fact of, what if Genghis Khan was trying to...
What if Genghis Khan was on this island by himself and I've got this huge empire here ready to kill him?
You know, Genghis Khan comes and he tries to attack Rome, but don't worry, Caesar's going to save the day because his best buddy...
Isabella
of Spain. The Prime Minister of England... Churchill himself comes over and lends a hand.
I need to correct you. Churchill was not the Prime Minister of England.
Great Britain.
Thank you. Thank Although, you. To be more accurate, the United Kingdom.
Sorry, I stuttered on that one because I was trying to remember what Churchill's name was.
His name was Winston.
Winston Churchill.
And he wasn't a and very nice man.
And he always kept saying, oh yes.
Now that's a dog. Who stole his name. Oh, I hate this guy. Stupid dog. Piss off. Why would I phone up a dog to get car insurance?
He should at least have a cigar and... Oh yeah.
He should at least be a human being. It's like the elephant as well. That's another stupid advert. Why would I phone up an elephant and get car insurance or whatever they try and sell?
At least the one with the red phone. It's like it's a mug troll phone and it comes to you. It's like, oh, I'd have to pay for this phone call. I'll use their phone. Oh my god, he's driving away.
Oh no.
You're driving. I want that mouse. I want a mouse that's on wheels.
Well, you can always get some Lego and modify.
Yeah, mug control mouse.
I wonder what distance that would work from. You're going to have to get some really thin Lego blocks for that mouse to work.
Yeah. Some thin stuff.
Unless you actually cut the mouse out. Pull that down.
Modified Lego mouse.
It would just be difficult to go left and right. You'd have to go up and turn.
You'd have it on remote, so you're here with a little mode control, moving the mouse and watching this mouse point going, ooh, ooh, hang on, 3-point turn, and I'm at the start button. Yay. Right, now I'm going to have to do another left turn, park it there. Yay, Microsoft Word.
What is this? Your new attempt is to be the most least productive person in all of society as you spend 10 minutes maneuvering your mouse cursor into the right position.
You're just getting it right, and then you realize that you weren't paying attention to the mouse, and you're paying attention to the mouse cursor, and you just back your mouse clean off the desk into the waste paper bin.
You're a menace to society, Adam.
Yeah. All right.
So yeah, that looks interesting, but meh. I ain't buying it.
Yeah.
What is this new one calling?
Super Bunny.
Let's just have a quick look down here. Oh yeah, PS3 came out in Australia on the 28th. The 80 gig one.
Cool.
When's this new Battlefield game coming out? The cheap one for free.
Oh, the cartoony one.
Yeah, wasn't that supposed to be in the summer?
Yeah, supposedly. I can't remember exactly when it is. Oh, that reminds me.
Ooh, this is an interesting article. Let's just have a look at that. What did you want to say?
I was watching some of the E3 stuff and on the Xbox newsletter thing that you have on the...
Oh, what, the stupid newsletter, which I just delete straight away?
No, the one that comes on the games console where you flick through. When you
that stupid thing, which I never bother to read.
Yeah, I find it quite interesting because it just kind of reminds me what's there without having...
The only one I bothered to read was the one which Catherine was on.
So... I was having to flick through that and went to this one where it was a beat-em-up competition for people who like
beat-em-up competition.
Shoot fire.
Look, we've got our peaceful games here. I'll tell you what, I've forgotten something I was going to talk about.
You look for that while I finish off. So yeah, they were going through the new Street Fighter 2 HD edition, which also comes with the standard edition, so you can go back to the bulk standard graphics will have the new updated graphics in high definition, but they're also showing I think it's Street Fighter 3 or 4, the new one that's out. I think it's 4. And that looked absolutely amazing in three-dimensional graphics. Don't know if I'll ground by, because I must admit I'd never get on with Street Fighter. I'm just basically crap at it, but yeah, it looks absolutely amazing, that on the Xbox. So what have you found?
2 points I want to raise. One, back on Spore. This is on GameSpot. I just found this. Apparently, according to Will Wright, Spore is offending militant atheists. Speaking as a militant atheist myself, I can say I am not offended by Spore in whatsoever. I would make one change, which is to rename the UFO into the spaceship or something. Because, how can you possibly build your own unidentified flying object?
Alright, can I add something on there?
Go ahead.
Not spaceship. Not UFO.
Epic wind machine. Yeah, wind machine.
A little blank spot that you type in what you want to call it. I'd like to be able to name the thing.
Yeah, Captain Reject Spaceship.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why these people are like. Why would an atheist find this annoying?
It's evolution. It's what really did happen. It's nothing in the Bible.
It's just in Spore, players guide the evolution of life forms from. I suppose someone could find that offensive in that you're designing the way the life form is going, but you're trying to make a game out of it.
Yeah,
you know, you've got to draw the
God
line somewhere.
God mode doesn't mean that you're God. It's just type.
It's just
gameplay.
A game. You know?
Gameplay.
It is a game. It's a game.
It's first person shoot. It's like first person shooter, third person action game.
So yeah, although the game appears to be ripe fodder for criticism from creationists. Which is what I was expecting.
Yeah.
Although they would say, oh, but you can design it. Like God.
Yeah.
Oh, this is on Eurogamer. Let's actually read on there. Because Eurogamer's website is actually readable. Biggest error. Didn't want to offend religious people. So why? I can't see anywhere where it says why. Wright, however, described himself as an atheist, insisted that Spore was not trying to pronounce any issue one way or the other. So yeah, it doesn't actually say why these militant atheists are upset about, which makes me suspicious of the whole story.
Mm.
Because, you know, like I said, the only thing I can find wrong is that you can guide the way evolution happens, which...
Yeah.
Although that isn't historically representative, it's a game.
Yeah, it is a game.
You have to do something in the game. You can't just watch it randomly do things and not interact with it. Because that's called a film.
And to be honest, I don't think we're at the game level point where you could actually build an engine that really does pay attention to every single detail that your character does and evolves it itself. I don't think.
Well, we've had simulators which simulate evolution for 20 years.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, it's actually really basic.
Yeah.
You know, you have different... You give the computer different environments. You give it a landscape, basically. And, you know, the creatures evolve, and they slowly spread out. And as they spread into different areas, they evolve into different things. You can see that on the computer, but it isn't a game. You don't do anything.
It would be boring. It'd be kind of like, I want to have fins, so I just keep paddling. I've got to do this. No, I need to stay in the water because I need to be able to swim better. And it's like, I need to be a monkey. I've got to keep scrabbling at this tree. If I keep scrabbling at this tree for another 15 minutes...
Dude, you're offending me now. That's Lysenkoism, and I will not have it on this podcast. The animal doesn't want to climb up the tree, which makes him evolve.
But the player would.
No.
That's what I'm on about.
The evolution simulator is not interactive.
Exactly. So if you were trying to make it so that the character would have evolved...
I'm offended. This militant atheist is offended.
See, this is how it happened. We have recreated how militant...
Your Lysenkoism put the Soviet Union back 30 years in the field of genetics. It is banned from this podcast. Banned.
I have to use my mouse mat upside down because it's starting to get smooth at one corner.
Oh, that's so similar to mine. Mine's like gone all weird. This is why my mouse mat's upside down. Let's talk about my other thing. So yeah, I don't know what the hell the deal with the Spore thing is. I mean, come on, get real. It can't be true to real life, like historical evolution, because it's a game. You need something to do.
Exactly.
Oh, and that, you know, it's the best, you know... Just shut up, you noobs.
You don't
As
like
a militant
it.
Atheist, I'm offended by my militant atheist comrades.
If you don't like it, don't buy it. Close your eyes and pretend it doesn't exist.
Unless it's Mercenaries 2, in which case we're bitched like hell.
Do a Homer Simpson. If you can't see it, it didn't happen. Just close your eyes. Every time you walk past a spore in games window advertising at set price, close your eyes. Walk into someone else.
Urge to kill rising. Urge to kill rising.
Must kill Mo.
Whee! No way. Urge to kill fading. Fading. Gone. And then it snaps back to a couple of hours later where they're frozen, and suddenly comes on a TV they don't like, and then he says, Urge to kill rising. Change the channel. Can't. Think it's frozen. this is from the Daily Mail. Oh.
Pain.
Well, as we say on this podcast, the Daily Tory. Parents horrified as most violent video game ever to launch on family-friendly Wii.
There is a parent control system built
in. Look, dude, we've got the most violent video game ever. And it's like a cartoon.
I've got a chainsaw and I've got red paint everywhere.
A new computer game, tipped to be the most violent ever, is being released exclusively on the so-called family-friendly Wii console. Nintendo will dramatically transform the Wii's image with the release of the ultra-violent video game Mad World, which revolves around the themes of brutality and nasty... So, blah, 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 blah. Oh, coming out next year, blah, 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 blah. Media Watch UK, Britain's longest-running pressure group campaigning for decency in TV, films, and games, said Mad World will spoil the Wii. Haven't these people seen Red Steel or anything?
Well, yeah, for Christ's sake, there are a lot of people who are into their gadgets. You know, they must have their iPhone, they must have this, and they have a thing. They're bachelors. Clean thing. They've got one of those Sony iDogs walking around. And they have...
I want one of those. They don't make them anymore.
I know.
I'm really sad.
I want the Hungry Robot. That's really cool. But yeah, they'll have those... Some people will have a Wii, and they're my age, and the reason why they have it... They're not a gamer. They just like their techno stuff. They like having what's new. Nice and shiny. They put it on the shelf. And some of these guys won't just want the fuzzy kid stuff. They will want this. At the end of the day, if your kid is...
I haven't seen Adam this pissed off in ages.
Yeah.
He's pissed.
Do not buy your kid this game. Let it out.
Do not buy your kid the Daily Mail newspaper.
Yeah.
Do not link to it on any website.
This is the game I would have bought if I still had a Wii. This is not the game that your kid should be buying, because at the end of the day, your kid should not be buying games without you being there.
The game will be rated by Peggy... And possibly the BBFC, and your kid won't be able to buy it from a shop.
Yeah.
Because we have to check the fucking age. Which is actually really good idea, because you see a kid come up with this game, and you're like, thank God, I don't have to do anything. And then it's like, have you got any ID? And he said, no. And I said, cop it.
Yeah, I love
it. It's like, oh, thank God for that. I don't have to go rooting through the drawers for this fucking game. John Bayer, director of Media Watch UK, said, this game sounds very unsavory. It isn't cake, mate, you know. So this game is made by Sega. It's in a very cartoony style. There's a guy here with a chainsaw.
It looks very cel-shaded, black and white, and the only thing that's colour is people's blood.
It's very stylistic. I mean, we don't actually know anything about the game itself. Mm. The screenshots here are probably not representative of the entire game, because they would have picked the worst screenshots they could find and put in this.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Players in the hack and slash game, which is due in the UK release 2009, can impale enemies on road signs, rip out hearts, and execute them with weapons including chainsaws and daggers. Cool! Impale people on road signs. That's new. It's nice to see some innovation in the field of violence.
Where you can just play Crisis, and it's like, actually, I'm not going to shoot that guy because I'm not violent, so I've got this really big gun and I'm going to shoot the tree with a nuke, and his skin's going to melt off and he's going to die in the most agonizing, quickest way known to mankind. And I'm going to kill loads of trees.
Doesn't say who wrote this article, it's just using the generic term Daily Mail reporter, a good way to hide all the people responsible for this bollocks. So yeah, they're basically attacking the Wii. They're attacking this game, and they're, you know, the Wii, it's got an image as being family friendly, but all consoles have violent games, and all games, and all consoles have kids games. What this harkens back to is the fact the media think games are only played by kids.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, kids make up a very small minority of the people playing games.
Yeah.
It's people in the 20s playing games. They've got money, they can afford to buy games, and they play games.
And they've been playing them since the Nintendo came out.
Since they were like 10 years old and they were playing Doom, rated 18.
Yeah.
So, I'll just read out some of the comments from what some Daily Mail thing.
A good point. Let me just jump in. That one there. Resident Evil Umbrella Chronicles, Resident Evil 4, House of the Dead 1, 2, and 3, Alone in the Dark, Dead Rising, the chop-over thing, where it's going to be on there. Yeah, exactly. I had Resident Evil Umbrella Chronicles.
So yeah, there are other violent games on the Wii. This is nothing new. This is not news. This is nothing new. This should not be reported by the Daily Mail, who frankly don't know fuck all.
Yeah. Plenty of violent games already out there.
This is all, the whole purpose of this article. There's new news here, you know. There's age ratings on games for a reason. That works fine. I thought it would be nice to get rid of the BBFC and just have Peggy ratings, so that, you know, because having two ratings is fucking confusing. You know, you go into a store and a woman, some woman just says to you, hey, this has got, this is a uh, PBFC rating, and they think PBFC means only 18, but PEGI, they think it's just like how hard it is to play. If you just had one rating on the game, it would really solve that. Mm. Which is why the stupid pop psychologist's stupid research paper, which the stupid government got to do, you know, said, oh, we should have BBFC rating everything, and we should have two ratings on every game. On every game?
To which one do you follow?
Just have PEGI. The industry like it, it works simple. The BBFC don't have the manpower to really be rating every single game.
They only do it on the most violent ones. They only do really do the ones that they want to put 18 on, and now and again, they know that they want
to what they want to do is they want to put it on all the games where people will, they try to advertise themselves, so they put it on the big releases.
Yeah.
BBFC rating, because the BBFC are doing important work.
Yeah, we won't see on everything.
So this is ridiculous.
Like, you'll see it, you'll see him on every single Grand Theft Auto. I'm sure that Metal Gears have always had 15s on them. I'm not entirely sure.
The ones which I can picture are 15s, but I think one was not rated by BBFC, and I'm seeing a 16 PEGI rating on it.
Yeah.
If parents are so worried about kids playing violent games on the Wii, all they have to do is not buy it for them.
Like what I said, or use the parent thing. The game won't actually work in a Wii if you turn on the parent control system. They're there on a PS3, they're there on an Xbox 360, they're even there on bloody Windows. Why they can't, you know, read the manual?
Why did Paramount release that awful Saving Private Ryan DVD? How are my children supposed to watch their Popeye and Rugrats DVDs now? That's a bloody good point. You don't see the Daily Mail fucking most violent film ever to be released on your DVD player.
Yeah.
I mean, who are these people? What a joke.
Exactly.
I mean, God. What a bunch of fucking scaremongering. They don't like games because it's eating into their advertising revenue. Well, tough shit.
They're here to stay.
They're here to stay. You know, your crappy newspaper doesn't deserve to exist.
I found out that, they found another
God, use. I just thought you were going to say, I found out I was gay.
I found out another
use. It just popped in my head.
They found out another use for Wii's. They've been trying it out. They've been putting Wii's in old folks' homes.
So oh, this is old news.
I know, but...
Old news, Adam.
Someone was telling me about it, that, he works with elderly people. And he was saying that they've been using them a lot to try and get them, so they're not just sat there not doing anything. They were doing the bowling and the tennis. They just, you know, simple Wii Sports, a few other games, to keep them still active and moving and stuff. I'm not going to have any issues about being elderly. I've got video games to keep me happy. As long as video games don't become extinct by the time I retire, I'll be fine.
Retire? You'll be retiring to about 150, mate.
Yeah, bionic legs running at 100 miles an hour, seeing through walls.
Bionic legs? Piss off, I want my wheelchair. I think I deserve to sit down for a while. Yes. I've been on my feet my whole life at game, and now I get to sit down. Ah, I want my electric wheelchair. Well, of course, I don't want to be crippled. I just want the wheelchair for when I'm not at work.
Yeah.
Right. They should get us like stools with wheels on at work.
Hey, it's actually on the Daily Mail website as well.
Yeah, this you know, it's ridiculous. And they dare put it in science and tech. Don't they have a games category? Games!
Bad, evil, evil.
I like how they spell female wrong. What are they trying to do? Try and be cool?
Male. Well, actually, click on it and see what happens.
It's this, you know, stupid woman's only bit. With all the silly women articles. I am offended. Where's my man section?
It's showing tits and everything. It's called the Nuts Magazine.
I want my man section. Yeah. Where is it? It should have pictures of big robots and women.
Yeah.
But what am I writing? What's that damn game called? What's a game called? Yeah. We just talked Mad World.
Mad World.
We and Mad World. What is that?
It's a mad world. Sorry.
Okay. Right, is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, what a shame. our most epic episode is over. Anyway, are we back next week?
Yes.
Definitely.
Do you want me to check?
If you want to check, yes, then our listeners... Because the thing is, if we say now, it saves me writing a blog post saying it's not up this week.
Yeah, so we'll just go to my Google Calendar.
My calendar's hosted on my Exchange server.
Saturday... Yeah. I will be back. Saturday I'm going to house party, so I should be back.
So yeah, we'll be back on GamerCast 129 on the 24th.
Sweet.
Unless, of course, one of us dies. Or we just feel like saying, I can't even walk. Look at the time. I want to play Civ.
Right. We shall catch you guys next week.